As I seek to serve you, may you find in me what's pleasing to your heart. I leave my will at Calvary, taking on a nature humbled by your scars. For I know it's only through your love that who I am is hidden by your grace. Let my desires be overshadowed as I recall the purpose of that place. Hide me behind the cross, where my gains become as loss, and only your glory is in view. Your power will be revealed the more that I am concealed. Hide me behind the cross, so the world sees only you. If I relied on my strength to be a source of hope to those in need, the only profit I would gain would be the empty honor of my deeds. But with all the self behind your cross, the splendor of your love stands free to shine, illuminating with your power, reaching souls to you alone are glorified. Hide me behind the cross, where my gains become as loss, and only your glory is in view. Power will be revealed the more that I am concealed. Hide me behind the cross, so the world sees only you. Hide me behind the cross, so the world sees only you.
Thank you. Let's all stand together. Let's all stand. If you are able, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. By the way, just a reminder, if you typically pick up your, I think it's the primary church children downstairs, they will not be downstairs today due to the photographer. That's where the photographer will be taking the Mother's Day pictures. They'll be in the fireside room, which is the room. Go out the door here, take a right, first room on your left, okay? That's where they will be. John chapter 2. It's Mother's Day today. I just figured that one out. Man, thinking about my wife, 20-year difference, and she had the last one, she was 41. I'm glad I'm younger than her. She's crazy. Oh, she's thinking. Just kidding. John chapter 2, verse 1. We'll start here. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman. By the way, that's not a disrespectful term in their day. That was just like saying lady or miss. He was being respectful. What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water which was made and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called unto the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Let's pray this morning. Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for all that you do for us. Bless us now in these few minutes we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, being Mother's Day, we all remember the things our mothers used to say to us. Remember those phrases your mom used to use? Not the ones that were actually good advice, just the stuff she threw out there. And eventually, all mothers, for some reason, say to their children, you know, I'll never say that to my children. Yes, you do. Let me give you a few. By the way, these are the few that we can repeat in church. There are some phrases that I heard I can't repeat in church. Mothers tell their children, think about which one of these you use. Don't look at me with those eyes. What eyes are they supposed to look at you with? Children are to be seen, not heard. That's a good one, by the way. If you keep making that face, it'll freeze that way. By the way, some of you were making those faces when you were children, I can tell. If you want to act like a child, I'll treat you like one. Quiet down. I can't even hear myself think. One day, you'll thank me. Because I said so, that's why. Some of them are logical. As long as you're under my roof, you'll live by my rules. God gave you a brain. Use it. Okay, how about sarcastic ones? Are your legs broken? If all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you? Here's one. Oh, Jen's mom let her do this. Fine, go and live with Jen's mom. Shut the door. Anybody know the end of that one? Were you born in a barn? I don't even get that one. I was like, Jesus was. Where are we at? Your room looks like a cyclone ran through it. That's talking about the mother's room. Talking to you is like talking to a brick wall. Now, this is my favorite. Let's play the quiet game. Try that with your wife sometime. Where are your manners? Were you raised by wolves? What if they say yes? What does that say about us? Think about that. Okay, now we threaten our children. I'm not asking. I'm telling you. When you have kids, I hope they're just like you. Woo. Don't you use that tone of voice with me, Missy. Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. You better wipe that look off your face. Don't make me tell you again. Come back here. Things of that nature. Now, let me interpret a couple of these phrases before we get started. When a mom says maybe or we'll see, it means never going to happen. When mom says, let's play the quiet game, she's saying, quit talking, my ears are bleeding. Oh, here's one. I love that outfit you put together. That means please spill something on it before we leave the house. Where did you hear that? That means your information is false. Here's what. Do you think that's a good idea? That means worst idea ever. When a parent says, uh-huh, that means I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay, here's, wow, that's great, sweetie. That means I have no idea what you just said, but you sounded so excited, so I went with it. Okay, I use this one. Really? Really? That means what in the world are you thinking? Because I said so. That means I'm losing this battle, so this is my last resort. You're amazing can mean anything from you actually are amazing to you are average. Just a second or just in a minute means hold your breath. And then mother's favorite, go ask your dad. That means it's his turn to be the bad guy. Now, as parents, we say a lot of things, especially mothers. But this story today, I want us to look at the best advice a mother ever gave. Let me go through the story. Mary goes to a wedding. While she's there, Jesus is invited to come also, and so he and some of his disciples come. The wine runs out. By the way, that's not a small thing in the custom of their day to run out of supplies. The Jewish wedding feast lasted a week, and it was necessary for the groom to have adequate provisions for those that would come for the week. For one thing, it would be embarrassing to run out of food or wine, but if they did, in their culture, they could actually be fined for doing so. So it was costly for them financially and socially. Best case scenario, it was an embarrassment. So they run out of wine. Mary brings this to Jesus' attention. She wanted him to do something, and so she brings it to him. He was not being disrespectful in the way that he spoke to her. In response to that, she talks to the servants that are there for the wedding, and she utters what I think is the best advice a mother can ever give. And here it is. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Speaking of Christ, he says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. The servants in this story listen. What happens is Jesus has them fill the pots with water. They put it with water. When they bear it out to the governor, or the head of the feast there, Jesus turned it into wine. By the way, it's not alcoholic. Okay, when it says they're eaten and well drunk, it doesn't mean the party was going on, someone was dancing on a table with a lampshade on their head. That's not what it's talking about, okay? When the scripture talks about it, when it's talking about the non-alcoholic, you look at the context. It condemns alcoholic drinks, so don't get happy. Okay, he didn't turn it into Boone's Farm or Mad Dog or whatever you want to drink. I heard a story of a man. He had been arrested a couple times for a couple DUIs. He was driving down the street, and he was kind of, and he got pulled over. And the police officer recognized him and said, "Hey, have you been drinking again?" He goes, "No, sir, I don't drink anymore. I'm a Christian. I know Jesus." He goes, "Well, I'm going to search your car." So he saw a bottle in the back of his car. He goes, "Hey, what is that?" He goes, "Water, just water." Police officer looks in the back. He pulls it, takes the cap off. He says, "This isn't water. This is wine." And the guy goes, "Jesus did it again." Jesus doesn't make that kind of wine, okay? What were we talking about? God, that's right. I see John Castle. I just totally lose it here. I'm sorry. What we want to focus on is Mary's, in the few minutes that we have here, Mary's directive to them. The best advice a mother ever gave. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. By the way, that's the best advice you can give anybody, any Christian. Whatever Jesus says, do it. Everything else from our Christian life flows from that, obedience to Christ. Let me give you a couple things. Why should we be obedient to Christ? What are some reasons we ought to be obedient? Obedience is a sign of respect. Luke chapter 4 and verse 46 says, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Obedience is not shown in what we say. Obedience is shown in what we do. And many Christians call Jesus Christ their Lord. They call him the king of their life, but their actions say that in retrospect, he is not the king of their life. We live in a time of disrespect. Authority is questioned on every single side. But let me just tell you one authority we should never question, and that's God's authority. Let's do whatever it is Jesus tells us to do. It's a sign of respect. Also, it's a sign of trust. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." In that story, they were being threatened for their obedience to God, and they came to the leaders and said, "Listen, we ought to obey God rather than obey you." Why? Because they had the ultimate trust in what God tells them to do. If we don't obey Jesus, if we don't follow the admonition to follow whatever it is he says, really, it's a trust issue. We don't trust God enough to do what he tells us to do. And lastly, obedience is a sign of love. Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Obedience is important. Now, let's look at Mary's request for obedience. What is in that statement where he said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it? I want you to notice that statement is comprehensive. She said, whatsoever he said. You see, Christianity and Scripture are not like a cafeteria. Cafeterias are kind of they're kind of going out of style, but I remember the old style cafeterias where you would get the tray and they had all the food lined up and you would get your tray and you would go down there and it's like they had, you know, six different breads and you would like, I want that bread. You put it on your plate. Then you go down here and you choose your entree. They have like, boom. How many remember Arnold's over here on Atlantic? Okay, that was a good place. And you go there and say, let me have chicken. Okay, what are your side orders? Well, if you're a Christian, mashed potatoes and gravy, okay? Anything with gravy is good. Let's just stop right there. I feel something, okay? Mashed potatoes and gravy. What do you want for a vegetable? I'll take corn or asparagus or something else that's good for you that tastes like nonsense. And then what do you want for dessert? You pick and choose, okay? You don't have to have all the desserts. You choose which one you like out of the seven or eight. Christianity's not like that. We don't look to the Bible and say, here's what I want to obey. We're to obey everything Jesus says. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. When we don't, we are choosing to do our own thing. And I want to remind you that it says in Proverbs, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, God knows more about this world. God knows more about what's best for us than we do. And when we try to do our own thing, things usually don't go very well. And so we need to understand that the command, the request to obey him, it's comprehensive. It's everyone that he said, every word that he says. Also, it involves listening. Whatsoever he saith, we cannot do what he says if we don't know what he said. By the way, you ever chew out one of your children? The little they are, it's like, hey, come here. And you're trying to talk to them, and here's what they do. They're like, It's like, hey, look at me. Because if they're not looking, they're not what? By the way, it works for spouses, too. No, it doesn't. When you say, look at me, that means, couch tonight. Look at me. Sometimes the little ones, you just very carefully put your hand on their cheek, and it's like, look here, because I want them to listen. If they're not paying attention, the words may come out. It may ring around in their ears. It may get inside of their heads and bounce around a little bit, but they're not listening. They have to hear in order to obey. And we need to listen to what God tells us he wants for our life. We can do that two primary ways. The main way, we read our Bibles. We get in our Bibles, and we're finding the instruction manual for life. Listen, this life is messed up. Our society is not in good shape. Things are not getting better. Things are getting worse. How do you live in this ridiculous world in which we live? They focus on the wrong things. They celebrate the wrong things. How do we know? Get in God's Word. God's Word. Well, people say, the world has changed. For the better? For the worse? Well, that's an old book. Can I tell you something? I just have an inkling God knew what he was talking about. I'm going to go on a limb here. God knows what is best even in 2014. And his book is not too old for that. But we need to listen to what he says. And then faithfulness to church. Oh, is church the catch-all? No, but we'll encourage you in the Word of God. You're going to hear principles from the Word of God that maybe you didn't know. I just remember when I first went to church as a new Christian, man, I was blown out of the water. I heard all kinds of stuff that went totally against the way I had lived the first 17 years of my life. But it was good for me. Got to listen. Next, it's personal. Whatsoever he saith unto you. You know, it's funny. We like to hear stuff so we can apply it to other people, right? Man, we hear some preaching. It's like, hey, man, is my wife in here? You know what she's thinking? Hey, is my husband in here? Okay, I hope Brother Robert heard that. Can I just tell you something? He didn't. And it's not for Robert. It's for you. You ever, look, sometimes new people come to church and say, man, I feel like you were talking right to me. You see the speakers? We have specifically put the speakers in such a location that everybody hears it. Fact of the matter is, you have a couple speakers. I have three of them right back at me. I'm hearing it too. Are you with me? Okay, it's for all of us. And so when you hear something, don't worry about somebody else. You know what happens in relationships sometimes? Like, man, that person won't change, or my spouse won't change. What can I do about the situation? Nothing. Get used to it, all right? In a relationship, if there's two of you, there's only one person you can guarantee who changes. Who's that? You. So work on you. In any situation in life, the scripture's for you. It's personal. And then next, it's non-optional. It's non-optional. Do it. Now, when I say it's not, obedience is non-optional, I don't mean it's non-optional. In other words, you do have the option not to listen to God. That part is optional. You don't have the option to the results it brings into your life. That's non-optional. So if you choose to disobey God's word, you're choosing to suffer the consequences. And by the way, we all have. By the way, that's why mothers and fathers, your children need discipline. You know why? They got to suffer the consequences of what they've done. You know, the kids in our Christian school, my little Poindexter got demerits. Is the teacher after them? No, your little Poindexter got demerits because he deserved demerits. Because you say, well, what do you mean? My Poindexters get demerits. It's not the teacher's fault. It's their fault. Okay? And if they're going to come whine about it, they're not going to whine about it. They're like, you deserve that. Why? We're trying to teach them that actions have consequences. We don't like that anymore. You know, our society now, the test. But you know what? Maybe I can vent here for a sec. You know, you put your kid in T-ball, which I wouldn't do, but you put your kid in T-ball, and it's like, everybody gets a participation trophy. I don't want a participation trophy. I want a first-place trophy. And I want the team we beat to know that we beat you. Oh, you're going to damage their psyche. No, you're not. You're teaching the kid, hey, guess what? We did our best. We didn't win. Next time, let's do better. We can't all be winners. Okay? Let's teach them. It doesn't discourage kids to do worse. It kind of encourages them, like, hey, we did our best, but maybe next time we can learn some things and do a little bit better. Encourages them to go forward. That was free. When I used to coach here, I didn't want second place trophies. Now, our girls just finished second place in volleyball. And by the way, that was good for them. Okay? They did a great job to finish second place. The team they beat was just a better team. And they did their best, and they learned. But we used to just like, hey, we did our best, but I don't want to see a second-place trophy. I want to see first place. Okay? Yeah. We'll move on here. What are we talking about? All right, let's talk about God. Not optional. Okay? You don't have the option. Someone has said, you cannot break God's commandments. You can only break yourself against God's commandments. So that sounds a little rough. I'm not trying to be rough. I'm just trying to encourage us. Let's do what God says. God will. And it's a growth process. It takes a while. We're not going to get to the top of the mountain, probably ever, but we're going to get closer to the top as we go in our Christian life. Let's learn and let's go forward. When God speaks to us, let's do what he says. Then the last thing is this. What are the requirements for obedience? In other words, what are the requirements we face if we choose to take Mary's advice? Well, what happened in the story? Well, we saw first there was a work to do. Verse 7, Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. You say, oh, what's the big deal? They took the little water pot over and they turned the spigot on? That's not how they did it. Each of those water pots were about 20 gallons each. That's pretty heavy. And that was all done manual labor, and it wasn't easy. But these guys had to do the work. It takes work. Serving God, doing what the Bible says, is not an easy thing. Really, Christians that are trying to fulfill the scripture and trying to do what God says, they're going to be a little bit different. You're going to stand out. You know, remember the big campaign, what would Jesus do? Well, none of the non-stuff the people that wore that stuff were doing. That was just a marketing campaign. Serving God is not the popular choice. Following the crowd is easy. Doing what everybody else does, that's easy. Believing what everybody else believes is easy. Not standing out is easy. Not standing for what is right is easy. It takes someone who's willing to make the hard choice following God. When we follow God, we go against the grain. It's like petting a cat the wrong way. Now, why you would pet a cat, I have no idea. But if you do, petting a cat, it's going in the opposite direction. It's like the salmon that swim upstream. That's hard. Okay? And you said, we just don't like to be a little bit. Now, by the way, we should not be different as Christians by being rude. We should not be different as Christians by being mean-spirited, by being hateful. By the way, that's what they accuse us of. We get up and say, here's what we believe about traditional marriage. You're being hateful. No, we're not. We're just telling you what the Bible says about traditional marriage. That's all. We don't hate anybody. People have a right to be wrong. And they're not wrong when they don't listen to what we say. They're only wrong when they don't listen to what God says. That is their choice. It's not being hateful to disagree. That's put on us to keep us quiet. That's what it is. So we have to be willing to do the work. It's rough. Next, there's a risk to take. Verse 8. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Here's what they did. Jesus said, go fill those things up with water. Now, they were supposed to serve people wine. So after they filled it up with water, he goes, now go pour it out to the governor of the feast. That's risky. They had to have enough faith to believe that that was going to be changed to something different, because when they put it in, it was water. And if they went and bore water to the governor of the feast, he's going to say, what's this all about? Where's the wine? But they were willing to take the risk. And in response to that, the miracle was there. Being risky is a Christian thing. Now, the risk, what we call risk, the Bible calls faith. Okay? Faith. Faith to step out and do what God says, even though I may not understand it. Faith to step out and do what God says, even though I may disagree with it. Disagree, that's a strong term. It's there. Our flesh disagrees with the things of Scripture. You hear something say, really? That's not how I want to do things. bless those that curse you. Really? Now, someone that hits you on one cheek, give them to the other to hit you. Now, fortunately, we only have two cheeks, so if he hits the other one, it's on. Say, well, you got that one, you got that one, there's none left, let's go. Okay, just kidding. That's Scripture. That goes against our grain. That's not what we naturally want to do, but it's like, bless those that curse you. Be nice to them. Be kind. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Now, I'm not sure. It doesn't really tell us specifically how we're supposed to pray, so that one might work out in our favor. Just kidding. Pray. God bless them. Take care of them. You say, that's not what I want to do. I want to get back at them. That's not Christian. It's what I want to do, though. Say, oh, if someone's mean to you, how do you want to react? Here's how I want to react. I want to be mean back. Oh, you're not a good Christian. Neither are you. Now, hopefully I don't act out that way, all right? It just takes a little effort. There's a risk to take. And then the last thing is this. There's a life to enjoy. Verse 10. And he saith unto them, every man at the beginning does set forth the good wine. And when men have well drunk, not the kind of drunk you're thinking about, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Look, they were there for 7 days, so here's what they would do. They gave them the good stuff up front, and the fuller they got, then they can slip in the cattle food. You know, we'll give them the stuff that's not quite so good because we've already given them the good stuff, and it gets worse as the week goes on. And the governor said, you guys did the opposite. You saved the best for last. You know how to have your kind of life you want to have? To have a life that the best part of your life is from now on, do what God says. The best part of my life started as an older teenager out of high school, a little earlier than I should have been, and I decided to live for God. You know, things got better. Yes, sir. You say, are things perfect? Nope, but they're good. You know, people think, we're so confused. We want happiness in our life. We want joy in our life. We want contentment. We want security. We want all these things. The problem is, in our flesh, we don't know how to attain those things. And so we try to attain spiritual things by fleshly methods, and that doesn't work. The shortest distance between your life and the life you really want is sold-out obedience to what God says. That'll get you there. So how does that get me there? Because God knows what brings joy in our life. God knows what brings contentment. God knows what brings satisfaction. God knows what brings security. But we have to trust Him and do what He says. What happens is people, we're not patient. And we start to get in this thing and we live this life and we get impatient. And sometimes some people get off the track a little bit too early. You ever go to a ball game or something and you leave early and you miss it? It was like 5 or 6 years ago. It's like 15 or 6 of us went to a Dodger game. And that's back when I had my green van. So we loaded up my van. It was packed. We went to the Dodger game, and it was horrible. It was boring. It was 4-0. And, you know, not just 4-0. The Dodgers weren't even close. And so, you know, I'm driving and I'm like, how can I talk these guys out of leaving? Anybody with us that game? Anybody? Oh, you were, Stephen. Brother Pineda was with us. And so I'm kind of like, hey, this is boring. Let's leave. They're like, let's go. We all got in my car. We left early, beat the traffic. And it was the bottom of the 9th inning. Dodgers came up. And somebody got on base. And another guy got on base. And another guy got on base. And, you know, hey, they actually scored a run. It was 4-1. And it was a really long inning. By the time I dropped everybody at the church and got home, the score was 4-4. Dodgers had the bases loaded, 2 outs. And I came home and turned the game on TV real quick. I'll catch the end. Sure enough, guy gets a base hit. They win 5-4. The best part, you know what the best part of that game was? The bottom of the 9th, when I was driving the car with 15 men who don't smell good, half of them were sleeping, I missed the best part of the game. Man, I don't want to miss that in life. Serving God is joyful. How do you serve God right? Very simple. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. You want some Mother's Day advice? Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Let's all stand together.